I'm Reverend Lisa Day, minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Welcome to our weekly radio program, where you'll hear a segment from one of our recent services recorded at our church on beautiful Troop Square. We invite you to join us Sundays at 11 a.m. in person or via live stream on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and more about Unitarian Universalism in Savannah at our website, uusavannah.org. We hope you enjoy today's program.
Good morning. I'm Mary Garofalo, and I'm serving as a worship associate today. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Our minister, Reverend Lisa Day, is our worship leader this morning. Finley Luck and Thomas Mikulski will bring our Love at the Center moment, a collaborated poem written by participants in the religious education program. Our worship, religious education, and covenant group theme for February is embodying resilience. Here at the UU Church of Savannah, we are working to build a diverse, multicultural, and beloved community. We celebrate the presence and participation of people of all races, genders, sexual orientations, abilities, and ethnic and national origins. We warmly welcome you on YouTube and on site, whoever you know yourself to be, and wherever you are on your journey. If you're visiting with us this morning and you would like to introduce yourself, please rise or raise your hand. An usher will bring a microphone. As part of our commitment to accessibility, we use microphones whenever anyone speaks so that everyone in the sanctuary and watching on YouTube can hear. Are there any visitors on this side? Hi.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. My name is Anthony. This is my first time here with my daughter, Aria, and it's been a very warm welcome. I appreciate it.
Welcome.
Good morning. I'm Greg. I am a worship associate up at White Bear Unitarian in Minnesota. I want to thank you because I know a few weeks ago you did a march in honor of Minnesota and what's been happening up there. And it means a lot to all of us up there. So thank you.
Welcome. If you're looking for a new faith community, we encourage you to visit several times to get a feel for our worship style and our approach to make matters of faith and religion. It's good to have all of you here. Please join us in Ron Hall for refreshments following the service. You'll find Ron Hall in the next building by following the crowd through this door or the front doors, or ask your ushers. With the lighting of our chalice, the symbol of our Unitarian Universalist faith, we enter into sacred times. Our chalice lighter this morning is Diane Petzold. At times, our own light goes out and rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us.
Called by love, we awaken to our deep and unending connectedness. Called to love, we open our hearts, defying risk. Called forth from love, love of family ties, the love of nurturing accountable communities, we venture into the world emboldened. Called into love, we gather for silence, for song, for renewal, that our love might flow and swell and merge with that unbounded love in which we live and move and have our being. Come, let us worship together.
Thrown in a pond, a small thing it might seem, but with you standing by me, the ripples of love go on and on. There are my parents, grandparents, uncles and aunties, hugging, talking, listening, and planning. They show me kindness and help me whenever I ask. As they calm my fears and tuck me in while I yawn, the ripples of love go on and on. There are my teachers, working, joking, explaining, and playing. They tell me I'm capable and remind me of all I can do. As they patiently listen one-on-one and lift me up when I feel withdrawn, the ripples of love go on and on.
There are my neighbors, sharing, caring, offering, and preparing. They open their doors and answer our calls. They bring us eggs for our muffins and help us pull weeds in our lawn. The ripples of love go on and on. There are my friends, laughing, helping, lending, and protecting. They listen when I am worried and tell me jokes to make me laugh. As they invite me to play and ask to join while shouting, "Come on," the ripples of love go on and on. Here is our church, welcoming, warming, holding, and healing. You are there when I feel sad and celebrate me when I am glad, as you read me stories, sing me songs, and offer me support that I can rest upon. The ripples of love go on and on.
I am a stone thrown in a pond, a small thing it might seem, but with you standing by me, the ripples of love go on and on.
As a faith community, we hold one another's joys and sorrows as if they were our own. From Patty Whelan, please hold Jack Maloney in your prayers as he undergoes spinal surgery today after a skiing accident yesterday in Colorado. Kate Eubank, a sorrow and a joy. Thanksgiving, that best friend Lindsay Howard's biopsy was not cancerous. Prayers for Carol and her mother. She is in hospice and having a hard week. This is a joy. I'm not sure. Bridgerton is back, baby. And I have a joy for Maxim Nemov, U.S. ice skater. He lost his parents in the American Airlines Army helicopter crash a year ago. And he is skating in Milan for the U.S. skating team. He is not winning any medals. He's not expected to, but he is winning a lot of hugs and support from everybody there when he skates and when they see him on the streets and in the Olympic Village. Let us hold all our joys and sorrows, spoken and unspoken, in our hearts as we join together in the responsive reading found in the order of service. Sorrow is everywhere. As we mourn together,
so we celebrate together,
and offer thanks
that we are not alone.
So may it be now and all the days to come.
Hi, good morning. I'm Megan. I'm the director of religious education, but I also host a Taoist meditation group here at the church on Tuesdays. So during our intergenerational services, I'll be doing a few more of the meditations. And so this is for the kids to meditate with as well. So if you'll close your books and put away your toys, that'd be awesome. In Unitarian Universalism, we say love is at the center. In Huang Lao Taoist meditation, we hold the same to be true. Today we honor love in three forms: love for the self, love for those with us here today, and love for those who are not here. I invite you to bring your hands together in prayer position in front of your heart. In this practice, we begin our meditations with a respectful bow. We're not bowing to something outside of ourselves, unless you choose to. Rather, we're bowing to our own selves, like a capital S self, for taking this time and for doing this work. I invite you to close your eyes now and take a bow if you wish. You might have heard the phrase, the deeper the root, the taller the tree. In Huang Lao Taoism, we start from the belief that when we spend time cultivating the connection to our deepest self, what we call the higher self or the God within, we start to understand and act upon the guidance and energy of our own hearts with greater ease. While sitting quietly, seemingly doing nothing, there is, in fact, quite a lot going on. We find that there are parts of the self that need healing. We find there are parts of the self that possess greater wisdom and grace than we realized. We find we have desires and needs that we are called to take steps to fulfill. We find that we become more grounded, more able to practice discernment, and more able to extend compassion. In this way, our roots grow deeper, stronger, and more connected to who we truly are. Please place both of your hands on your heart, one on top of the other. We are all capable of accessing and cultivating these roots. They are growing right now. Imagine those roots and take 3 deep breaths here. As we cultivate these internal energies, as we deepen and strengthen our roots, we might believe this work to be self-serving. However, the practice of spiritual cultivation is one that inherently serves others. In Huang Lao Taoism, we believe that energy connects all things together. It connects us to other human beings, to plants, to animals, to rocks, like the rocks you got from Reverend Lisa, to inanimate objects. Also, our energies reach out to others when we meditate. These are our branches, held steady by our roots. As we meditate together, we are all supporting one another, whether we realize it or not. This doesn't require any conscious intention. Rather, energy knows where to go and knows what to do. We surrender to this. In this practice, we use our hands to assist in the sharing of supportive energies. I invite you to raise your hands in front of you, palms forward, holding your arms loosely so that they don't become too stiff. Pay attention to how your hands feel. Do they feel warm? Do they feel tingly? Do you want to move them around? If so, go for it. Do you want to place them on your lap, palms up? That's okay too. Just trust that you are extending energy in support of your fellow meditators, and they are extending it to you too. As you hold your hands outward, take 3 deep breaths here. Now please return your hands to prayer position in front of your heart. In Taoism, there are stories of hermits, monks, nuns, or sages who live in caves or up in the mountains, meditating all day, eating little, surviving for, it is claimed, centuries. There are reports of the villages and towns around these hermits experiencing changes, less hunger, less disease, less discord, greater peace, greater equity, greater love. I don't doubt this. Energy is a funny thing. As the hermit does nothing, their work radiates outward, impacting people and events beyond their imaginings. These are the branches that reach beyond our tree, but exist nonetheless. During a group meditation session, we often finish with what is called a healing circle. Again, we trust that energy will flow where it needs to flow, but we also give it a bit of direction, a little love-based nudge. To do so, we simply speak aloud the names of those we wish to send supportive energy to. Anyone who needs comfort, grace, hope, or healing. Anyone you love who is not here. With our eyes closed, we raise those names up in our circle and wish them well collectively. You will speak as loudly or as quietly as you like, but please join me in finishing this sentence. We wish to send supportive energy to Joe, Elias, Lisa, Rick, Susie, Vicky. Breathe here and relax for a few moments. To conclude a meditation, we often place our hands on our tummies, kind of the lower tummy right below your belly button, one on top of the other. This is called the Dantian and Taoist practice, and it helps keep us grounded and rooted, and it's a nice place to conclude a session. So put your hands on your tummies. Together, our roots dig deeper. Together, our branches grow ever longer. Together, we cultivate love. Together, we find who we truly are. If you like, you may put your hands in prayer position and take a small bow before you open your eyes. Thank you all. And one note to the kids, I've seen you eyeing the goodie bags.
Our first reading this morning is from Rose Mary Watola Tromer. Most days, I rearrange the small stones on the front porch into a new semblance of a heart. What moves them? The wind? A mouse? I gently reshape them with my palms. They have been here over 4 years now, since the day you placed them beside the door. The day my son did not come home. 2 dozen-ish penny-sized gray and white stones, rough to the fingertips, soft to the spirit. You taught me how simply we might care for each other with whatever is here. Small rocks, fallen petals, tall stems of grass, a touch of love, 2 willing hands. And from Nikki Giovanni, love is. Some people forget that love is tucking you in and kissing you goodnight, no matter how young or old you are. Some people don't remember that love is listening and laughing and asking questions, no matter what your age. Few recognize that love is commitment, responsibility, no fun at all unless love is you and me. And for a change of pace, our final reading this morning comes from the opening paragraph of the article Harnessing the Healing Power of Love by Charles Ford and Larry Young, published in Trends in Molecular Medicine. Love cures people, both the ones who give it and the ones who receive it, claimed psychiatrist Carl Menninger. Were he alive today, Dr. Menninger might support his claim by referencing a recent report by Nadiri et al. From the group of Hippocrates Chiaris at the University of South Carolina,
which provides evidence that pair bonding in monogamous mice is protective against tumor growth. Here end the readings. Scientific evidence is almost always a good and useful thing. In the case of the healing power of love, however, we don't need pair-bonded mice protected from tumor growth to convince us. Our lives are filled with stories of the ways love has healed us. So we're going to do some story sharing here and some pair bonding too, though there will be no mice involved. There are half hearts at the end of each pew, if you will pass those down so everyone has half a heart. And in just a minute, when I'm finished with the instructions, you'll find the person who has the other half of your heart. It needs to be the same color and the fitting puzzle shape. And then you'll talk with your partner about ways that you've experienced the healing power of love and decide together what you're going to write or draw on your heart. And then after it seems like everyone has finished their conversations, I'll invite you to come forward with your pairs and put your hearts up on the wall, and Miss Megan will have a microphone and you can tell us what you learned from one another about the healing power of love. So, find your pair. So our hearts don't have to be perfect heart shapes. If you can't find your partner, just pair up with someone else and we'll have some Picasso hearts. Okay, if we can start wrapping up our pair bonding, then you can come forward with your partner and talk into the microphone and tell us all how love heals your pair.
Once you start wrapping up your conversations, we're going to start hearing from whichever pairs want to share their experience with the healing power of love. And after you share, you'll stick your heart, whatever shape your heart ended up being, onto the wall with the sticky tack so everybody can come and have a chance to read them. So I think, would you like to go first? Okay.
So mine is when a friend of mine calls to share their good news.
Mine's is when a friend tells me that my other friend is getting better from a sickness that he has.
Mine is whenever I went through the heartache with my family, with my dad, and the experience we had. And I noticed my little sister and my mom helped me through that with love and caring.
That's great. Both of my parents passed away before I adopted my first and only child. And believe me, that will leave you very broken and hollow. The moment that my little girl was placed in my arms, I immediately felt whole again. And that was absolutely the healing power of love.
So Elias and I both talked about when we feel anxious or upset that love from our family makes us feel calmer and that everything's going to be okay.
We have two parts that don't match. And what I wrote was, we're willing to partner even if not perfect, and we both deserve love.
We're the Chuck and Judy show.
I shared how after my husband died, I joined the Unitarian Church that was about 20 minutes north of me in New Hampshire, and how I cried through the first 6 months, every service just made me cry, and how much support and love I got from that community. And now I'm in this community, I get the same thing. It's wonderful.
And I shared about my grandfather, who I'm very close with, and he's the reason I'm here, being able to pursue art and really kind of make a purpose in my life with art. Yeah.
When classmates were mean to me, a friend helped me talk to a teacher about it.
I have a prayer group of about, positive energy prayer group of about six women, and we reach out whenever we know someone's in need, and a neighbor My next-door neighbor here in Savannah has a granddaughter that very much needed all of our prayers this week, and we all came together and prayed, and it helped support the family who happens to be at the University of Michigan getting care to know that they had people from Naples to Michigan all praying for them, and it helped us all feel better as well, and that's love.
Whenever I feel, like, sad, my mom, like, gives me a hug, like, without even asking, because she knows.
Okay. Mine is love is welcome to church visitors, and this is Mike and his wife Patty are visiting today, and they belong to Becca and Dan Flaherty.
I was just struck by the universal power of love. In our country, as we've seen from our visitor from Minnesota, we just we're one with all, you know, and just struck by that. So it's good to be here today.
I shared with Gail more about my son's best friend, Jack, who's the person who's having surgery today, and how the friend group and the parent group are all, you know, just sending him so much love.
And I said I miss my mom, who died in 1998, and I haven't gotten over it yet. But every time, it's like the book that Reverend Lisa read today. I just think of her all the time, and I see her all the time, and I tell her I love her, and she tells me she loves me, and then I feel better. So our little theme was love heals present or past. There you
go. Just to piggyback on that, on mine half I wrote the unique, unconditional love we get from a parent. And my mom's 95, and my siblings and I talk about when she goes, as much as we love one another, that unique, unconditional love will also go away.
I did on my half, when I'm feeling sad or down, my parents or cats help me.
So Patty is my partner, and I think our theme would probably be small acts of kindness or small acts of love. And ironically or coincidentally, I work in the church office, and I walked in one day, and there was a little note on my computer saying, "Have a good day." And it had a cute little picture of a kitty on it, and guess who had left it for me? So I look at it all the time, and it makes me really happy.
One act of kindness is when my mom let me have the last of a dessert that I liked.
I have lots of examples, but love to me means support and community. And this is my son Mason, and his half means love saying that you are not alone.
We found each other, and here's mine. We couldn't come up with anything at first, and then we both settled on our pets. And I have two dogs at home, and every time I come home, no matter what I've had going on in my head, they're right at the door, and they start jumping, and they just greet me with such love that I just go crazy.
And our cat, Algebra, was always waiting at the door for us, and it's really nice.
Well, we realize that family connections are very healing, and we both shared grandmother stories. For me, it was when my grandmother was feeling horrendous, I guess, and she felt like she was losing her spirit. That was after Maria hit Puerto Rico, and she didn't have water or electricity for almost a year. And then when the family were finally able to get onto the island and see her, she just got better. It was amazing.
Yeah, and my grandmother had an illness, and it brought her kids back together, and it brought the cousins back together. So the matriarchs kind of holding the families together is something powerful.
We didn't really do the assignment. but
But we did talk a lot about Minnesota and what's going on there. And it sounds like our visitor here has a lot of love and appreciation for what we're doing to support them. But I think we all have a lot of love and appreciation for Minnesota. I think you guys are really courageous. And like I said, you've really given us a model of how to respond without violence, if and when ICE shows up in our town. So thank you.
Don't mess with Nordic people in the winter. And of course, Minnesota is not just Nordic people anymore. And the love of community, which is what I wrote on here, transcends time and place. We've had a really awful winter. We have had a really wonderful winter because the love that came out between all of our communities, between those who look like me and those who don't, buying groceries for each other, looking out for our neighbors, taking care of those who are scared, who are now alone because their parents have been shipped off. That's what love is. And as I mentioned before, I noticed that Savannah and this congregation had done a march in our honor and in protest of what's happening in my community. We've seen that from all around the country. And if you don't think you were heard and seen, I got to tell you, you were heard and seen, and it mattered. So thank you.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Katie.
Strangely enough, we ended up talking about the importance of friendship, and I have a group of women friends that we all met in Minneapolis, actually, as actors a long time ago, and we still get together once a year, and how important that's been for me.
And I shared that I have some friends who, even though I might not talk to for an incredibly long time, sometimes energy itself just kind of calls me to check in, and that has happened this month to occur right in their time of need. And just so blessed and grateful that love has that energy, like Megan was talking about, that kind of reaches across far distances, no matter the time. So we came up with a theme. It's very close to the theme you just heard. The healing love of friendship transcends space and time, like dandelion seeds in the breeze.
We're not poetic. Get that out of the way. Our hearts didn't match, but our stories, funnily enough, did match. I was diagnosed with cancer 13 years ago, and the love that surrounded me and was in me made all the difference.
And when I was younger, I was able to move in with a family, and the wife was diagnosed with cancer, and I was able to be a caretaker because I was unemployed. So I was able to take her to her chemo treatments and her doctor's appointments, and she's still alive and in my life. So, you know, we talked about how we would see the cancer patients who were alone, and they had a much harder time recovering from cancer. But the people who had, you know, love in their lives, they had a higher chance of recovery.
Yeah, we're just two old men that plug into groups, and one is the church, and the other one is, for me, is Veterans for Peace, and you say something, Jim.
And after my wife died last year, the church, the senior group that I'm involved with, and my neighborhood have just been absolutely fabulous. You people have been wonderful. And it's the healing of love. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's good afternoon now. But Melanie and I, we talked a little bit about cancer survivorship, and then we talked about grandkids. And one thing that if you ever want to know the healing power of love, FaceTime with your young grandkids and how special they are and how innocent they are. And that's our future.
That's Duncan.
And this is Tish. We came up with a theme, right?
We came up with a theme.
We came up with a theme between our two stories, and the theme is living with mammals that love you. So my...
Go ahead. You go.
Okay. Mine is my domestic partner, Jenna, who I met 12 and a half years ago, and she has healed me with her love.
And I swear I have loving humans in my life, but I'm here to speak on behalf of love of small dogs.
Another one for our hearts don't match, but our stories kind of did. Sebastian and I talked about how our family and friends and chosen family have wrapped us in love so that we can continue showing up for our kids and for kids from a place of love, too.
Hello. Last year, my husband and I and my parents bought a house together and moved in together, and that has been really good for all of us. Not always easy, but it definitely has been healing. It's a blessing for us, and it's definitely helped my parents. So,
I would say how loved affected me would be, it helped me grieve through my aunt passing 2 years ago, and I would say it really affected me in a positive way with all the family support, the cousins, her friends coming. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Karen and I both wrote down about our families, that she misses her kids and grandkids because she's far away from them here. And I just moved away from my hometown with my parents, and my grandmother and my siblings are all spread apart. So I feel their love in every card they send me and box of Girl Scout cookies.
So the heart's a little misshapen, but many are out there. So my example with love is, I guess, self-sacrificing, that my wife, who's not here this morning because she's dealing with insomnia as part of long COVID and the whole thing, and it's been almost a year. So your life just gets... put on the side, and you do what you need to do to take care of that person. It's just the way that is. So being there and listening is a gift, and we give that, we give our time, and we give our hearts, and we give our love. So thank you. And Jody was my input partner.
So we had trouble finding our matches, so we decided to form a threesome. And we couldn't really think of what we wanted to say, but then Thomas said, right now. And we thought, yes, that's very good. Being in the moment and feeling the love in this room right now is very meaningful. And it made me think of the Dalai Lama. If you ask him what the happiest moment of his life is, he'll say right now. So being in the moment's really important.
Thank you all for that sermon. The world aches for us to join together and bring about healing, toil for justice, and produce ever-increasing love. This is our calling. Go forth and act accordingly.
This is Reverend Lisa Day. I hope you've enjoyed this program from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Please join us at one of our services sometime soon at our church on Troop Square or live on Zoom. We're the beacon of liberal religion in Savannah, and you can find out more at uusavannah.org. We meet on Sundays at 11 a.m. Thanks for listening.